Welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me, as always, is Jesse.
Hi.
And Caitlin.
Hi.
And today, we are talking about Season 4, Episode 14 of One Tree Hill, titled Sad Songs for Dirty Lovers, which, fun fact, is a song by The Nationals.
Of course it is.
Of course
yes.
It is.
Who make a cameo in this episode in the form of a CD in Peyton Sawyer's lower back. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
So I do want to start out by saying there were several boyfriend hot takes this episode that I am forbidden from saying on this recording. I tried so hard. But he put his foot down and is firm that I cannot say any of that for the
You are telling those to us after
we
record.
Okay, well, that means you have to tell us as soon as we hit the stop recording button.
Yeah.
So we open with Karen watching some home videos of Lucas as a child. And for some reason, she left her front door wide open because Dan just waltzes right in and starts watching with her. And then Lucas walks in and says that Keith bought him that bike that they see in the video that he's riding. And Lucas then reminds Karen that he needs to go get fitted for his tux for prom. And he leaves. And Dan asks how Lucas is doing. And Karen says, I think he's doing better. And Dan says, okay. And I also want to take him tux shopping. Great. Have at it. Then at school, Lucas and Peyton run into Glenda, and she tells him she's on chapter 10 of that book she let her borrow, but she would love to talk to him about it sometime. And to keep it a secret, because she knows that's what he wants, she never says the book title or anything, and Peyton asks what that's all about, and Lucas says, oh, I lent her Great Gatsby. Can you believe she's never read it? Ha ha, ha ha. Lying. Ha ha. Bad liar.
Lying to your girlfriend. Yay.
I mean, fibbing. I would say not complete lie. Fib. Fib. Small fib. Small fib.
No.
Yeah, you know. Then we go to Shelly and Mouth, who are making out in the AV room hardcore. And she pulls herself off of him and leaves when the bell rings. And they walk out right into a group of clean teens who look at her like she's killed somebody and walk away.
Yep.
Those judgmental little virgins.
Like I said last week, Shelly really likes kissing Mouth, has no problems.
Yes.
With kissing Mouth. It is what her friends think about the activities.
Yes. Yes. So then Haley.
Which is so wild to me because they all know that Chase is dating Brooke.
Yeah.
But Chase didn't start Clean Teens. He's not the head of the Clean
matter.
Teens.
I mean, I know it matters to Shelly, but
that's why it's called hypocrisy.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's the worst. So then Haley comes to Brooke at her locker and asks her about the stolen test. And Brooke promises that the A she just got was a complete coincidence. She studied, studied with Chase, and she got the A. And Haley tells her that Principal Turner's on a witch hunt, and Brooke is prime suspect, so she needs to be careful. Then we go to Deb, who went back into rehab after her overdose.
Something tells me that she's not able to check herself out this time.
Probably not.
Correct.
Yes. And she's been sober for 3 weeks now. And the nurse, who reminds us very much of Dr. Bailey from Grey's Anatomy, her name is actually Lisa, according to her name tag, that since she's been sober for 3 weeks, this is the first time she can have visitors. And the nurse is very optimistic for her, but Deb does not believe that anyone is going to come see her, given how she treated everybody in her life. Then we cut to Rachel and Brooke, who are in the bathroom, and Brooke wants to turn herself in because she can't take lying anymore. She's done. She wants to turn herself in and be done. But Rachel tells her not to. And she hands her a piece of mail that came for her. And it turns out it is from Victoria's Secret, who want to underline clothes over bros and put Brooke's fashion line into their stores. But there is a morality clause in the contract. So they want student council president Brooke Davis, not cheating on her calculus test Brooke Davis. So she has to graduate to be able to have that be a thing for her. And Rachel keeps telling her, Turner can't prove anything. You're going to be just fine. Immediately cut to them in calculus class where Turner is giving them a pop quiz with a brand new test to prove who stole the test.
Rip. Big rip.
Yep.
Yeah. Principal Turner is the worst.
He's the fucking worst.
Continue to agree to that.
Yes, he's the fucking worst. Yes. God. Then we go to Mouth, who goes to see Shelly in the quad and kisses her on the cheek around all the clean teens and tells her about how he checked with Brooke and Chase. And they're all cool to split a limo for prom together. So that'd be super fun. And Shelly says, all right, Mouth, we got to go talk. So they get up and they go off on their own. And Shelly immediately breaks up with Mouth and tells him that they can't even go to prom together.
Not into this whole... her, oh, I can't date you because I'm a clean teen shit. Like, it's really frustrating, but also I was thinking about it and I think she's punishing herself from.
Oh, completely. Completely.
Yeah. Like, I think she doesn't think she deserves to be happy because of what happened after summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which is so sad.
Yes.
But it's sadder that Mouth is now being hurt because of it.
The cannon fodder in that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we go to Chase and Brooke, and Chase being the good boyfriend that he is, because apparently now they're dating. That's adorable. We love that for them. he tries to persuade Brooke that she maybe passed the test, that she's totally fine. But Brooke does not believe it, as the announcement across the loudspeaker tells Brooke Davis to go to the principal's office immediately. And she says, she kisses him. She goes, dead girl kissing. And she leaves.
That was very funny, though.
It was very cute.
Dead girl kissing is good.
Yes. Then we go to Lucas and Dan, and Lucas is trying on tuxes for prom. And Dan gives him some tips on prom wear, like don't wear the blue ruffles like I did, because, you know, blue ruffles. Choices. And
my dad wore like gray ruffles for his and my mom's wedding.
Dear God.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, who would have thunk that wouldn't have worked out?
Wow. Yeah. And while Dan is giving him tips on prom wear, he also starts to tell Lucas about, you know, how Lucas was talking about how he doesn't think how Jimmy killed Keith. And Dan spins it to think that, you know, maybe Jimmy didn't mean to kill Keith, but he did. And that's something that they're never going to actually really know the answer to, because no one else was in that hallway. Right, Dan? And
gaslighting motherfucker.
And he tells Lucas that, you know, he understands that he's struggling with it, but he needs to let it go for his mom's sake, because she can't bear hearing him talk about it anymore. It hurts her too much. And then he buys Lucas an Armani tux.
Nope. Don't like it. Fuck Dan Scott.
There it is. Yes. So then we go to Nathan, who comes to visit Deb in rehab. And Deb immediately apologizes to him and tells him that he can't possibly understand this disease that she has. And Nathan, being slightly uneducated about it, says, this isn't a disease. It's weakness. And you need to start fighting this, Mom. And she admits she's scared of herself and being alone on the outside once she's out of rehab. And Nathan tells her, well, she needs to figure it out, because if things don't change, she won't have anything to come home to.
Yeah.
I didn't like this scene at all.
No, it's very rough. And I don't even think that this was an acceptable take on addiction in 07.
No. No, because I remember in 07 being weird about this, of like, why is Nathan acting like this? Like, I get she's... you know, been horrible, but still she's suffering.
She means she's suffering. And I think it's just I think he's handling it how an 18 year old boy would. Like, yes, Nathan has at his core come a very, very long way as a person. True. Thank you, Haley. But he is still an 18 year old boy who has a narcissistic father who only loves him when he succeeds at basketball, and a drug addict for a mother who literally chose pills over him. Like, he's reacting to this how any 18-year-old in that situation would. Like, and even like last episode when he was talking to Peyton about like you know, feeling that relief mm-hmm. at the fact that his mom might die. Like, that's, you know, that I think that's totally in line with this conversation that they're having, even if it's not the correct reaction for him to have. Mm-hmm. I think that as an 18-year-old, it's completely what I would expect.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Makes sense. Then we go back to Dan and Lucas, and Dan takes Lucas home, and they're outside his door to his room. And Dan calls Lucas out on not taking his meds the night of the state championship. And Dan knows that he didn't take them because he takes that medication. While that's happening, Karen is in Lucas's room putting some clothes away and overhears the conversation on the other side of the door. But when they come in, she pretends not to have heard anything. And she then asks Dan that they need to talk about their new situation here with Lucas. And so Dan's like, all right, fine. Yeah, we should do this over dinner. Gross.
Yuck.
Gross. I'm so over this. Mm-hmm. I'm so over it. Mm-hmm. I've been over it.
Yeah, the only thing that is getting me through all this bullshit is knowing that it has to end sometime. It has to end sooner or later. And I'm hoping mm-hmm. for sooner. But yeah.
Well, what if it doesn't?
It will. It has to. It has to. Brody.
Caitlin. Interesting. Interesting.
Fuck you both. Both of these little grins, don't like them. It's got to.
Okay. Then we go to Brooke, who, you know, goes into the principal's office, and Principal Turner says he owes her an apology. She passed the calculus test with flying colors. And Brooke immediately runs home and tells Rachel, and Rachel congratulates her. And then she asks Rachel to look over all the legal stuff for the Victoria's Secret stuff because, you know, she's like, Rachel, you have such a better eye for contracts than I do. And Rachel's like, all right, it's super simple. Apparently you just have to turn over the artwork and sign off on it, and then they can use the designs. And immediately Brooke's face sinks because, if we all remember, the artwork for Clothes Over Bros is Peyton's.
Yep, I definitely forgot about that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Then Haley goes to see Principal Turner, and he tells her that Rachel is the one who stole the calculus exam, and she actually admitted it to him. And because Rachel was Haley's tutoring student, that he forces Haley to resign from the tutor center and give back her tutor center key. And Haley is very upset.
I think he straight up fires her. Be.
Yeah. He does. He does. He just does. Yeah. Yeah, he fires her, which sucks.
Yeah, it's some bullshit.
Why are you firing somebody for having a key stolen?
Right. Like, I understand, like, not letting her have a key anymore. Like, she's mm-hmm. maybe demoting her, not being, like, supervisor or whatever she was. But firing her outright mm-hmm. when she needs the money.
Well, the fact of the matter is, too, it's like the person who did it's been punished. Like, she's going to be punished. We know that.
Right.
Like, Haley has a stellar track record. So, okay, dude, whatever. You're just being a jerk. But, okay. I think that's all Principal Turner does is live at the school and be a jerk.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Nothing good happens when he is in an episode.
Nope. Never. So then back at the apartment, Haley's venting to Nathan about the whole situation and with the tutor center. And Nathan tells her about Deb. And how she's afraid to be alone. And Haley has the great idea that they should let the apartment go and move in with Deb to save money now that she doesn't have the tutoring center job. And they can keep an eye on Deb.
Great.
Not to mention, brilliant. That apartment is not equipped for a child.
No.
No.
Not like, at all.
I mean, yes, I realize that they're about to move out of the apartment anyway in 4-ish months to go to college, but that baby is going to come before they leave. Like, where are they going to put the child?
Mm-hmm. Also, I want to know what kind of month-to-month lease they have on that place and how much a tutor center job is.
Yeah.
Well, she also works at the cafe.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true, too.
And I'm sure that Dan gave Nathan guilt money.
Oh, I'm sure.
After the Dante shit.
That's so. Very true. That's very true.
Oh, we love some Dan Scott guilt money.
Yes.
Paid my rent with that all year.
Yes. So they're going to move in with Deb, which is great. So at Deb's house, Nathan enlists the help of Mouth and Skills because they have to clean the house from top to bottom and rid it of all the booze and drugs. And Mouth is like, dude, it's just Nathan's mom. How much booze can there be in here? And then we cut to them filling the entire kitchen table and island full of booze. And Skill says that Nathan's mom is like the alcoholic Easter bunny.
Yep.
The alcoholic Easter bunny. Hippity hop, 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 fall down.
Oh, God. And that fucking counter looked like...
College?
Yeah, there was like a bottle of Hypnotic in there. Uh-huh. There was like...
College.
Just...
College.
Where in what universe was Deb Scott taking the time to mix herself a sparkly blue cocktail?
I don't think she was. Hypnotic. I think she was drinking that straight, which just shows how bad she actually was.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Doggy. Yeah. So then Mouth is like, well, are we just going to pour this all down the drain? And Nathan's like, hell no. We're going to have a big old party because we didn't get to celebrate winning state because someone got hit, because Haley got hit by a car and Nathan had a heart, or Lucas had a heart attack. It's the night before prom. So let's just have a big old party and use all this booze. And they're like, cool. Great. Then
nothing bad ever happens when we have big parties. It'll be great. It's gonna be fantastic.
It's gonna be
everything fun. Will go perfectly right.
Best idea. Yes. Nothing will go wrong.
It's gonna be a wonderful night that they'll never forget. And only half of that is true.
I think some people had a wonderful night. I'm sure. I think Skills was having a really good time.
Right.
Skills and Bevan are forever doing great.
Yes.
Okay. So then we go to Peyton, who comes over to Lucas's, and he admits to her that he lied to her about the book that he lent Glenda. And she's like, yeah, I know, because the Gatsby doesn't have 10 chapters. And he tells her that the book he lent her was actually his because he's writing it and he needed an impartial opinion. And Peyton says, well, why can't I read it? Because I could be impartial. And he says, oh, no, you can't because you're in the book, which immediately her face lights up and she uses her feminine wiles to be like, I want to read this damn book. AKA she jumped.
As any girlfriend of any sort of artist does when she finds out that her boyfriend wrote something about them.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So they are all getting frisky on the bed in their boots. Like they didn't even take their boots off in the bed. That's the first thing I noticed. I'm like, they both have like combat boots on and are just wiggling around in that bed. Great. That's fine.
Whatever. Wiggling around.
Whatever. But Peyton stops. Peyton stops all the wiggling and, and says she wants their first time together to be special. Plus, his mom could walk in at any second. And he says, no, she's gone and no one's going to interrupt them at all. Just as Brooke crashes through his door. I will say, but before she does that, Peyton does roll over and she's like, this is all great and romantic, but I wish also I didn't have. And she pulls out the nationalist CD that's lodged into her lower back from the bed. So she's like, yeah, maybe not with this around too. That's fine. But it's a great album. So nice.
Yeah, it would have been the Nationals would have been a great like soundtrack to all their wiggling.
Right. The wiggling. Yes.
You mean not Wiggle by Jason Derulo?
No,
actually, that song wasn't out yet.
I was going to say, that didn't exist yet. That's a good, like, 10 years before it needed to exist.
But it's all I can think about.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So anyway, fast forward back to Brooke crashing through the door like the Kool-Aid man of awkwardness. And, Peyton and Lucas dislodge themselves from the bed, and Lucas leaves and says, try not to break anything expensive, you two. Okay, thanks. Because
listen,
Brooke says she needs to talk to Peyton. Great.
Lucas was not doing enough to deal with his boner is all I'm going to say for this. That boy was about to rip her clothes off. He is a 18-year-old boy about making out with his girlfriend, about to rip her clothes off. He had a boner. He didn't do anything. He should have acted a little bit is all I'm saying.
He did put his laptop in front of it.
Okay. I missed the laptop because he picked the laptop up,
put it in front of him and ran out. Yes. 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 So,
which is hilarious considering Brooke had seen his boner.
Uh-huh.
I mean, yeah, absolutely, but it's not hers to see anymore.
Very true. So Brooke asks Peyton about, or she tells her about the Victoria's Secret opportunity for her and tells her about the fact that Peyton needs to sign off on the artwork and asks her to do so, which Peyton immediately says, do you have a pen? And Brooke's like, yeah. And Peyton immediately signs off on it and tells Brooke that she's happy for her. You know, what Peyton did was just, you know, art. And Brooke's the one who made it close over bros. And she's very happy for her and proud of her. And she also tells Brooke that she loves Lucas, but she never meant for her love for him to hurt Brooke.
Yeah.
Very sweet moment. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Very, very.
Their last sweet moment for the entire episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So then later that night, Nathan brings Haley to Deb's house and surprises her that they're throwing a big old party. Yay, a party. Yes. And then we see the next thing we see is Skills and Skills coming up to Mouth saying Shelly's here. And Mouth is like, all right, when she gets here on the count of three, we're going to leave. OK. And Shelly immediately runs up to them. They go three and they scatter. And Shelly literally in a long take chases Mouth through, I think, the living room and the kitchen until she cuts him off at the kitchen island. And she confronts him and says, the reason she broke off with him is not because she doesn't like him. It's because she's too attracted to him and she doesn't trust herself around him. And Mouth's like, that's a bad answer, and walks off.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes, he fucking should.
Yes. Then Dan and Karen are at their dinner together, or date, as Dan would like to say.
Boo.
And Dan asks Karen, pretty matter-of-factly, that he wants to be a bigger part of Lucas's life. And Karen says that's never going to happen between them because she's carrying his brother's child. Let's not forget that, Danny boy. Yep. Get it, Karen. Get it, Karen. Then speaking of Lucas, we go back to the party and Lucas is up in Nathan's room alone. And Nathan comes up asking for some help downstairs, but he sees Lucas with a picture of Keith. And Nathan tells him, you know, I know you miss Keith, but you kind of got to let it go and focus on your friends who are all downstairs. We're going to be going their separate ways here soon, and he should maybe have some fun with them. So they both go downstairs. Great. Haley then catches up with Brooke and Chase and congratulates Brooke on her calculus test and apologizes for accusing her earlier today. And she asks where Rachel is, and they say she's in the living room making a scene because it's Rachel. And
the follow-up question was the best, though. Uh-huh. Does she have her clothes on? And then Brooke's like, yes, but that was 10 minutes ago. Haley's like, fuck. Okay.
Yep. Yes. Then as soon as Lucas gets downstairs, you know, to join all his friends, Peyton scoops him up and says, take me upstairs to an empty bedroom. And so he does. So he then spends no time with those friends that Nathan said he should spend his time with before they leave. So there we go. Great writing there.
Yes.
Yeah. Then,
I mean, to be fair, if I were Lucas,
uh-huh,
and Peyton was my girlfriend,
uh-huh, I'd, and she said, her, and she said, take me upstairs.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say, okay.
Okay, sure.
Twist Let's my go. Arm.
Right. So then Haley finds Rachel in the living room dancing on some tables and around some boys, and she gets off the table. And Haley immediately, you know, accuses Rachel of stealing the tests and makes her feel bad because she, you know, got fired from the tutor center because of her. And Rachel just nonchalantly says, oh, whatever, it doesn't matter. To which Haley throws a drink in Rachel's face and says, that's for getting me fired. And then slaps her across the face and says, that's for trying to steal my husband.
Fair.
Not only slaps her across the face, but grabs her by the chin and makes her look at Haley.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And then, let me tell you, I've never been more attracted to Haley James.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's then they have the quips of Rachel's like, you're lucky you're pregnant. And Haley goes, honey, you're lucky that I'm pregnant.
And Jesse goes, wait, how is she that pregnant? How long has gone between last episode and this one?
Like I said, don't ask questions. She just balloons out and becomes super fat pregnant at some point, and this is when it happened.
Pregnant.
Uh-huh. She's so pregnant now. Yep. And then Rachel goes to push Haley, actually, but Skills steps in and tells Rachel that it's time to leave. And he turns around to Haley and says, he has that kid's back. He meant what he said. Mm. Love it. Love
Uncle it. Uncle Skills.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. And so as Rachel leaves, Brooke follows her out and asks what happened for her to piss off Haley. And Rachel explains that she found out about the tests. And Brooke is confused, you know, since she's we both passed. So how did that happen? And Rachel tells her, well, no, only one of them passed. And we find out that Rachel actually switched hers and Brooke's tests so Brooke could pass. And it looks like Rachel's the one who failed. And she did that so Brooke could graduate and get the contract with Victoria's Secret. And Rachel says she did it because, you know, she got Brooke into this mess, so she decided to get her out of it. Plus, Brooke is her friend. And Brooke worries about Rachel and what's going to happen to her. But Rachel says, don't worry about me. I'll be fine. You go in there and go have fun with Chase. And then Rachel turns around and leaves.
It's the chaotic, like, back and forth of Rachel that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Where she grows a conscience every once in a while, just ever so subtly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
It's like whenever she gets comfortable enough with a person to be herself, she is good to them.
Mm-hmm.
But not all the time.
All the time. Right. I know. It's like she's like a Sour Patch Kid.
She's like, okay, she's like one of those Siegfried and Roy tigers who are trained. Like, they're trained to most of the time be, like, really nice and gentle, but sometimes their true nature comes in and they bite your head off. That's Rachel.
Okay.
Tell me I'm wrong.
No. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That works.
Okay. Does it work? It's not the greatest, you know.
I don't know if there is a good metaphor for Rachel's friendship style other than chaotic gremlin.
right.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So then we go back to Nathan, who finds Haley and asks her if she really did punch Rachel in the face, because that's what the rumors now started around the party. And Rachel and Haley clarifies, no, it was not a punch, it was more like a bitch slap, and she's fine. And then she starts making a face and clutching her stomach. And he's like, oh, what's wrong? And she's like, no, the baby's just kicking. And Nathan's like, what? The baby's kicking? And thankfully, Skills didn't say anything. Be like, yeah, dude, I already felt that last week.
Yeah, it's been happening forever. Where the fuck have you been?
Right. But no, it's a very sweet moment where Nathan then gets to touch her belly and feel the baby kick. And it's so cute. He's like, that's my boy.
That's my boy.
Aww.
Big. Mr.
He says vibes. Specifically, that's our boy.
That's what he does say. Yeah.
And it's very cute.
I can't hear a dad type say my boy without thinking Mr. Diggory.
Nope. Not
my
once.
Boy.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Then we go to Mouth, who is sitting alone in an upstairs bedroom when Shelly walks in. And she apologizes as Mouth admits to her that it hurts that they can't be together. And he wants his first time to be with her and that he could kiss her forever. And he says he knows he isn't good enough as Shelly kisses him again and drags him onto the bed.
Yep. Oh.
Uh-huh.
He does say some good, he's got some good lines, though.
He does
have
some
good lines. Good stuff.
Yes, he does.
I think the fact that he's also a virgin is what, because Shelly had a moment where her, like, eyes lit up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
where, like, yeah, I think she respected him a little bit more knowing mm-hmm. he was a virgin, but
yeah. Then we go to Chase, who finds Brooke on the doorstep of the house, and she admits that she's worried about Rachel. And she also tells him that she's done some stuff that she's not exactly proud of. But Chase assures her that she is a good person. And to prove it to her, he smooches her some more. Because that's all they do. Because, you know, clean teen. All they do is kiss. Because he's really good at it. Then we go to Skills and Haley, who decide to put in an old VHS tape of Nathan playing basketball titled Nathan Scores. And everyone is enjoying the video until they kind of realize that the person videoing Nathan is Peyton. And they kiss on camera. And Bevan literally comes out of nowhere and says, I thought Nathan was married to Haley.
Thanks, Bevan.
Thanks, Bev. Yeah. Then upstairs, Mouth and Shelly are getting dressed as Skills walks in on them. And he smirks a little and walks out saying sorry. But then once the doors shut, he does say, nice work, though. To which Shelly...
The most supportive friend in the world.
The most supportive friend in the world. To which makes Shelly start crying of embarrassment and shame. And she tries to leave. His Mouth equally tries to persuade her to stay. But Shelly says she's a clean teen. She's the clean teen. And even though she could love him, she can't. And tells him what they did was a goodbye. And she tells him not to call her. And if he loves her, just to let her go. And she leaves in tears as he lies back down on the bed.
I hated her for this.
Yeah.
Of all of the shitty things that Shelly has done since she's joined this TV show, this was the worst.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. Like, she literally just did to him what Summer Camp Boy did to her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Yeah. No, fuck Shelly. Anyway. Yep.
Ugh. Mm-hmm.
Then we go back to Dan and Karen, and he takes Karen home and asks her to the prom as he's chaperoning the dance, and Karen agrees to go with him. Uh-huh.
That's she all also tells him no blue ruffles.
Yep. Yes. Very nice. Very nice. Then we get to Lucas and Peyton, who are smoochy smooching up in an upstairs bedroom, and Lucas says that he thought that she wanted to wait. And she reminds him about their time in junior year during the first season of the show when they were up in the same exact bedroom and he told her that he wanted everything with her and she walked away. Now she wants what he wants, which is all of it with him. Aww.
Very cute.
Mm-hmm.
However... Why? Fucking at a party is not special. Sorry about it.
It's full circle? I don't know.
Full circle, yeah. Love the full circle moment. But, like, have that, like, talky-talky makeout moment at mm-hmm. the party and then drag his ass home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to your empty house
with
house.
A giant bed? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Then we go to Skills, who finds Mouth on the stairs and asks how he feels, you know, after everything. And Mouth says that he lost his virginity, his prom date, and a girl he could have really loved all in one night. He says he's never felt worse.
Poor guy.
Poor Mouth.
Oh.
Mm, yes. Then Nathan goes outside to find Brooke outside on one of the benches in the yard. And he's like, where's the new boyfriend? And she's like, he's taking a break. When all you do is kiss, you kind of need to come up for air. So, yeah. And Nathan says he seems like a great guy. And Brooke says, yeah, he is. And she apologizes to Nathan for the tutor center stuff as she feels guilty. And he's like, why? You didn't do anything. He doesn't know that she actually did, but it's fine. And she asks why he's outside. And he says that he had to get away from all the old game footage that people are playing. And he says it feels like a lifetime ago. And Brooke's like, yeah, because you were a jerk dating Peyton and you guys fought all the time. And he's like, yeah, you're right. And Nathan asks about Peyton and says, isn't it time to let Peyton off the hook? And Brooke agrees that it's time. They should just talk and, you know, let it go. And Nathan says, all right. And he gets up and he says, you wait there. And he waits a little bit, and Brooke's like, Nathan, why should I wait? And he's like, oh, the sprinklers. And then they go off, and she runs after him, and they chase each other through the yard, and it's adorable. It's a very fun little friend moment.
Yeah.
Then we
give
get our
it like 5 minutes.
Yep. Then we get our montage moments, which start with Rachel, who
not
is...
Not even 5 minutes, no.
No, like 2.5, maybe. Rachel's back home and she's packing up some of her memories and photos from Tree Hill into a box. And we see her put it with 4 other similar boxes with 4 other high schools labeled on it. So now we realize that Rachel's been to 5 high schools in 4 years.
That's not the first place my brain went to, but yes, that is what we learned. Yes. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe she was actually 28 and she just keeps like flunking out or getting expelled at the end line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sports metaphor. And starts over for whatever reason, like a never been kissed situation. And
yeah, no. No. Then we see Shelly walking home from the party in tears. Good.
He broke our mouth's heart.
Speaking of mouth, he's very sad watching Nathan's game footage downstairs. Then we see Karen looking at her old yearbook and go to the pictures of the winter formal that are of her and Dan together as she looks at those. Then we go back to the party and back to the game footage of Nathan, which then cuts to a sex tape that Nathan made with somebody that he recorded over the game footage with. And people are asking, is it Peyton? Is it Haley? And as that commotion's happening, Peyton and Lucas are upstairs and they hear the commotion and they hear someone say upstairs, come downstairs. There's a sex tape of Peyton with Nathan. And Peyton's like, oh, hell no. And they get dressed, run downstairs. Everyone rushes to the front. Nathan and Brooke from outside. Haley's there. Lucas and Peyton from downstairs. And they see who is actually in bed with Nathan on the tape. It is not Peyton. It is not Haley. It is Brooke. And everyone sees it. And there are so many dirty looks exchanged by every single person in our main cast. And the episode ends.
The really sad part about this is Peyton is panicking like there is a version of this with her.
Uh-huh. Well, and Haley was also, maybe she was just freaked out that because it was Nathan on the sex tape, but.
Oh yeah. She was just horrified. There's a sex tape at all. Yeah. Like, I don't think it would have mattered if it was Peyton or not. I think she's just generally horrified.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only one I don't think who was genuinely horrified is Lucas. Because Lucas has no skin in that game, but right. It's fine.
He has no skin in that game, and he's also had sex with both of those women. So
not only one of them.
Oh, that's true. He and Peyton didn't get to do the thing.
They haven't fucked yet.
Nope. So, yeah. So there's the episode. What did we think, kids?
Oh, God. How messy. God. Just when you think this show is, like, found peak messy.
So it just makes you realize that Nathan has slept with all three of our main characters.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He sure has.
And we thought Lucas was the horn dog slut.
Yeah. Well, nope. To be fair, Nathan was the horn dog slut before Lucas was cool.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yes. Oh, okay. God.
There was a moment that I forgot to call out right as the party was starting. Mm-hmm. Nate came upstairs and found Luke like sitting in the bedroom and he calls him big brother. He said, mm-hmm. What do you say, big brother? And I'm like, oh, these boys, oh, mm-hmm. The brothers.
Yep. Yeah. Everyone is in a very good place until the last 2 minutes of
until they're really not.
Oh, what this show does best. Everyone's okay. Pull the rug out from them. They are not okay. Yep. Oh, God. Oh,
man. I can't wait for next week.
Oh, I cannot either. Oh, I cannot either. So, Jesse, what did you think when you saw the beginning of the tape and you didn't know who it was? Who did you think it was? Or did you have an inkling?
I mean, I thought it was Peyton. Absolutely. Because Peyton is everywhere else on that tape. So, but I also did notice that they did not show whoever the girl in that tape is. They did not show her face at all. It was very strategically shot while everyone was assuming it was Peyton, mm-hmm. we never saw her face.
Yeah. Until he got off of her and we realized that it's Brooke.
Until it was clear that it was Brooke. Exactly. Yeah. So, like, I did think it was Peyton, but I also did clock that we did not see her face. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
I remember when I first saw it, I thought it was Taylor, but That wouldn't have made much sense. That wouldn't have made much sense because that happened his freshman year and it only happened once. So why would they videotape it?
Right. But that would have been a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
And also one that would have horrified Haley and Peyton. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
But the thing is,
this also horrified Haley and Peyton, if we're being completely.
Yeah.
But the thing is, given when this was when Nathan was dating Peyton.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or in one of those breakups that they talked about last week.
Right.
Is this a we were on a break moment from Friends?
No, oh, God. Know?
Like, right. No, that is the correct response to mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But. Yeah, no. So they were either dating or on one of their very short breakups
mm-hmm.
when he decided to make a sex tape with her best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make sex tapes, kids. Don't make sex tapes.
Yeah, don't. Especially if you're underage.
Especially if you're underage. Yeah. Which
at the time that this was filmed, they would have been.
Soundly underage, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yuck.
No need to record it for posterity's sake. No, don't do it.
Nothing groundbreaking is happening in that bedroom. You don't need to film it.
Nope. Leave that to the professionals.
Yeah.
And sometimes nothing groundbreaking is happening when it's professionals. So
yeah,
maybe just don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God.
Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else we want to talk about this episode besides the bombshell that was dropped? Or is that pretty much taking it all over now?
I'm concerned about the bad decisions Karen's making.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's continuously
concerning, mm-hmm. but mostly concerned about the adolescent porn that was being shown at a party.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I can't wait for next week. That's all next I have week, to say.
Because here's the thing. Next week, we know what tomorrow is in Tree Hill Timeline.
It's prom.
It's prom.
We get prom night.
And it's also a definitive answer. How long has passed between these two episodes?
That's true.
We never get that.
Yes. Also, just as a reminder, Jesse, you have to watch these next two episodes with parental supervision.
What?
Yes.
This is the it? Two these or next two?
Two from now.
No, it's these next two.
Well, no.
Uh-huh.
Prom night.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Prom night. Uh-huh. Prom uh-huh. night itself is fine.
No, it's not.
The next episode is fine. It's the one after it.
No, it's not.
Brody, we're going to need to confer because I know how the next episode ends.
Because we're doing two episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And no, parental supervision is required for both.
I'm scared.
You should be.
You should be. We're not going to sugarcoat it, honey. You should be scared. Sorry. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, on that note, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us out in the long run. Follow us on social media. We are everywhere at On Wednesdays Pod. We live most often in Instagram and Facebook land, so hit us up there if you want to chat or have any questions, comments, and or concerns. And yeah, we will see you guys next week for another wonderful episode of On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill. We'll see you guys then. Bye!
Bye!
Honey, you're lucky that I'm pregnant.